We last time we left off, I think we finished our discussion of Birchas HaTorah, and so now the Gemara is going to return more to the theme of Birchas Kriya Shema. And we are on Daf Yud Aleph Amud Beis, about, I don't know, 12, 15 lines from the bottom of the page with the two dots. So the Gemara begins by quoting a Mishnah from Maseches Tamid, which describes the performance of the avoda in the Beis HaMikdash, all the steps that took place. And the Mishnah says that after this, I believe, is after they've already brought the Tamid Shel Shachar. So from a time perspective, it has to be after dawn. It still might be fairly dark. And the sun is certainly not visible at this point. But the Gemara says, Tanan Hasam, we taught in the Mishnah there, Omer Lahem HaMemuneh. Rashi says that the Mamuna literally means the person who was appointed. Rashi says that the Mamuna refers to the Skan Kohen Gadol, the second in charge. He said to the Kohanim who were assembled and whoever else was there, there might have been some Yisraelim as well. They're obviously Levim. He said, Baruchu bracha achas. He said, make one bracha. And the Gemara understands that this is a reference to one of the brachos of Kriya Shema. V'heim berchu, they made the bracha, whichever bracha this was, but apparently it's only one bracha. And then, v'koru aser sadibros shema v'haya im shemawa v'yomer. So this is kind of interesting, because what they do is, they make a berchas Kriya Shema, and then instead of saying Kriya Shema immediately, the first thing they do is they say the Aseres HaDibros. So they read the Aseres HaDibros, then they read Shema, V'hayim Shemawa, and Vayomer. Now the Gemara is going to have a discussion as to which bracha this was. Was this Yotzer or Havarabba? Those are really the only two choices. And on a pshat level, it seems, I don't want to say it seems clear to me, but if you assume that the bracha was Havarabba, and the Gemara is going to have two possibilities. The Gemara is going to have a machlokas, actually. But if you were to assume that the bracha were Ahava Rabba, then the fact that you might immediately read the Aseres HaDibros instead of Kriya Shema itself is in itself telling. Because if it were Yotzer Or, Yotzer Or clearly is a bracha that has nothing to do with Kriya Shema. There's nothing in the bracha. It's not the bracha that immediately precedes it. It doesn't have the theme fundamentally of Kriya Shema. It's something else. It's a Birchas HaShevach. Even those we've shown him who believe that Ahava Rabba is a Birchas HaMitzvah on Kriya Shema, the way we make Al Netilas Lulav on a Lulav. So we say, some Rishonim say, you say Ahava Rabba on Kriya Shema. Nobody would say that Yotzer Or is a Birchas HaMitzvah Kriya Shema. Yotzer Or is praising God for having created the universe. So, if it's Yotzer Or, the fact that you read the Aseres HaDibros and then Kriya Shema, in itself isn't particularly noteworthy. But if it's Ahava Rabba, then you said what, according to the summary Rishonim, is a Birchas HaMitzvah Kriya Shema, and yet the first thing you do is not actually Kriya Shema, it's the Aseres HaDibros. But if you think about, even if Ahava Rabba is a birchas hamitz on Kriya Shema, it's not asher kiddushanu mitzosav etzivanu likro es Shema. It's fundamentally a bracha in praise of Torah. And Kriya Shema is a sense, I don't want to say quintessential Torah, that may be a very bad road to go down on, as we'll see, but the Aser said any parsha in the Torah in theoretically would be suitable to follow Ava Rabba. So in this case, in the Beis HaMikdash, they actually read the Aseres HaDibros, and then they read the three parshios of Shema. Now, the next line is a little bit tricky. Our Gemara reads, Uberchu es ha'am gimel brachos. Now, it sounds like, read literally, that the Kohanim blessed the people who were assembled there, three brachos, which sounds like Birchos Kriya Shema. And in fact, if you look at Rashi, Rashi says, where does he say it? Somewhere he says it. Oh, I take that back. It says Berchus on Gimel Brachos, and the Gimel Brachos looks like Emes V'Yatziv, Avoda, and Berchas Kohanim. So Emes V'Yatziv is the bracha after Kriyashma. That's not surprising. Avoda is the bracha of Ritzei. If you think about it, what have the Kohanim just done? They just brought the Karban Tamid. So now you say to God, Ritzei Hashem Elokeinu Bam Chai Yisrael. It can't be exactly the bracha that we have, because they can't say Vasheva Savodah L'Dvir Beisecha. But it's some version of Ritzei, which is Ishei Yisrael Ba'avos Kabel Baratzon. It's some slightly different version of Ritzei than we say, asking God that our avoda that we have just performed should be merutza, should be accepted and appeasing to God. So they say Emes V'Yatziv, they say the avoda, and then Birchas Kohanim. And this is the tricky one, because Rashi writes with Birchas Kohanim, Mevarech Es Ha'am. In other words, Birchas Kohanim was, they actually made Birchas Kohanim and blessed the people. Now, there are a couple of problems there are two problems really we shouldn't have to grapple with here. Number one, even if you assume that they are reciting Birchas Kohanim, the Kohanim are dochening now, what is Uberchu Es Ha'am Gimel Brachos? Because the very next thing is Emes V'Yatziv, and V'Yatziv, Avoda, and Birchas Kohanim. And that's question number one. And question number two, which is even more difficult, is that the Kohanim did not actually bless on the Duchan until much later. It comes much, much later in the morning. So what exactly is this Birchas Kohanim doing here? So there are a couple of things that I think that should be noted about the statement, Uberchus on Gimel Brachos. Let's begin with that issue. Rashi himself, even though he says Birchas Kohanim, at the end of the list of the three is really Birchas Kohanim. Rashi says, Uberchu Es Ha'am, he writes, Es Ha'am is Im Ha'am. So this happens to be the case. It's not. I don't think it's too common in Rabbinic Hebrew, but it's fairly common in Biblical Hebrew. We just had an example, I think, in this week's parasha. V'hu na'ar es b'nei vilhav es b'nei zilpanashe aviv. And the way the Targum reads is that es b'nei vilhav es b'nei zilpan means with. Yosef grew up with b'nei vilhav b'nei zilpan. You have a lot of cases where the word es actually means im. So that's in itself isn't shocking, although I don't know how common that is in the Mishnah, in Rabbinic Hebrew. So Rashi says, Uberchu im ha'am gimel brachos. Now, other Rishonim, I think the Rashba says, we don't have the words es ha'am, just Uberchu gimel brachos, which becomes emes v'yatzev v'avoda and berchas kohanim. I would note, though, if you take a look, turn your attention, you shouldn't have to turn the page, but turn your eyes to Daf Yud Beis Amud Aleph for a moment. After the Gemara analyzes, what is the bracha achas? What's the one bracha that the Kohanim make before Kriya Shema? The Gemara on Yud Beis Amud Aleph on the eighth line now goes back to analyze the rest of the Braisa. So in other words, our Braisa said, the Mamuna told them, Berachu bracha achas, they made the bracha. Then Vikaru, and they read. Now, in the Gemara, it now cites the Braisa. In other words, it goes back to analyze piece by piece. It cites that part of the Braisa. But the way the Gemara reads is, Vikaru naseres hadvarim shma v'hayam shamoa v'yomer, emes v'yatziv avoda berchas kohanim. In other words, the citation of the Braisa, later in the Gemara here, omits all those words. There's no statement of Berchu Es Ha'am Gimel Brachos. You don't even have a Berchu Gimel Brachos. And it's hard to know, is the Gemara later just quoting an abridged version of the Mishnah from earlier, or does that in fact reflect the original text of the Mishnah? And however these words work their way in, because somebody wanted to add something, somebody misunderstood something, somebody wanted to provide clarification, somebody inserted those words in the Mishnah. So there is a possibility, looking at the Gemara later, that those words are totally foreign to the original text of the Mishnah. But whatever it is, with the exception perhaps of Rashi, I don't think anybody assumes that that Birchas Kohanim is being made here, and certainly nobody reads Uberchu es ha'am gimel brachos as a reference to Birchas Kohanim. Now, the second question then, though, is what about this Birchas Kohanim? So, as I mentioned to you before, Tosas points out that the Kohanim did not ascend the Duchan, the steps, in order to, so we would say Duchan, that's where actually the word comes from. The Duchan in the Beis HaMikdash were the steps on which the Kohanim stood. So today we have created I guess it's probably a Yiddish verb or something like that, to Duchan. The Kohanim were not Omdim al HaDuchan until after they had burned all of the limbs on the Mizbeach. They're not there yet. Right now, all they've done is they brought the Dam HaTamid, they shechted the Tamid, and they put its Dam on the Mizbeach. They've got a lot more to do, but they're stopping now to recite whatever they're reciting. So Tosfos comments, the bottom Tosfos on the page, only when they burn the limbs of the Talmud later. And if normally the Kohanim, according to the Mishnah in Tainis, three times a day they would do Nesias Kapayim on certain days, not all days. If this Birchas Kohanim were really duchening, were really blessing the people, whether even if you're not standing on the Duchan, so then the Mishnah and Tainis should have said they're actually four times a day. Sometimes the Kohanim bless the people four times in a day. And therefore, the fact that it doesn't means this was not actually Birchas Kohanim, as we know Birchas Kohanim. Ella, says Tosos, the second line from the bottom, below Nesias Kapayim, Amru Birchas Kohanim, Kimo Sha'anu Amru. Tosos claims that they made it just like we would say it in Tefillah, right? Most of us are not Kohanim, but after we say Birchas HaTorah, we say Birchat HaShem Nosein HaTorah, and the first words out of our mouth are Yivarechacha Hashem Yishmarecha, etc., etc. So Tosos thinks that Birchas Kohanim here refers to some recitation of the Pesukim. There is, however, a group of Rishonim, the Rashba and the Ridva and the Rambam in his Perush HaMishnayis, in his commentary on the Mishnah, to that Mishnah, who actually claim that's not what Birchas Kohanim is. Birchas Kohanim is actually a synonym for Sim Shalom. When we daven, whether you have Duchene or not, we have Avoda, which is Ritzei, we have Hoda'ah, which is modim, until toshim chalachan elahudos. Then we have what we say Birchas Kohanim, and then we have Sim Shalom. But actually, Sim Shalom and Birchas Kohanim are actually very closely tied together. And these Rishonim claim that here, we are looking at an instance where the bracha of Sim Shalom is being referred to as Birchas Kohanim. I wanted just to show you a Mishnah I'm going to share with you in a second. Let me pull the Mishnah up. In Rosh Hashanah, there was a very interesting article that was published a long time ago. I would not have known about this article except that I was the editor of the volume. It is an article that was published in the memorial volume for Soloveitchik, known as the Zichron Harav. And in that volume, there were several articles by members of the Lichtenstein family, including Rav Aaron Zichron Livracha, but at least a couple of his sons published an article, and his son, Rav Moshe Lichtenstein, currently the Rosh Yeshiva of Yeshivat Har Etzion, filling his place. So he wrote an article about a very, very odd position. I think it might even be cited by the Beis Yosef, I don't remember, it's in the Shulchan Aruch, about what happens when a Kohen is duchening, and he's the Shliach Tzibur. He's the Shliach Tzibur. What does the Shliach Tzibur do? So the Mishnah in the fifth parak talks about, of our Masechta, talks about what do you do if you're a Kohen, but you're davening for the Amud. I don't know, what happens in KJ? I don't know if a Kohen ever davens for the Amud, for Musaf, when they duchen.
We only had one Kohen, Chazen. We don't have it every day, so it's not a matter of Kohen walking. And I don't remember. I know what Chazen Heinovitz does in Yeshurun Synagogue.
Okay, what's that?
He turns around.
In his spot.
In his place. That's right. And
here also.
I beg your pardon?
What's that, Aaron?
In Israel, our chazan for Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur is a Kohen. So he goes out after he finishes, before he does the repetition, he washes, he comes back, and then he turns around and he duchens.
And he's standing in the middle of the shul or near the front?
He's in the front. He's not at the bima. He's in the front. There's a,
okay. Right.
But
he's in front of the kohal, right?
Oh, I'm sorry, Aaron, what was that?
And whoever's in front of him, whoever's seats are in front of him, they move behind him.
They move behind him, right. Because the Anshav Torei HaKohanim are not included in the bracha. Okay. So the question, and then what happens? What happens when they finish Birchas Kohanim? Who starts Sim Shalom?
He does.
Yeah.
However, I don't know if I forget who says this. This I don't know if it's a Rashi somewhere, and it's cited by the Beis Yosef, says that the Makri, who fed the Kohanim the words, he's the one who says Sim Shalom. So I'm not going to explore the article now, but he writes about what is the origin of that practice. That isn't our practice. But one of the things that emerges in the article, and this is what stuck for me from 25 years ago, which led me to pull the volume off my shelf yesterday, was that Birchas Kohanim and Sim Shalom are fundamentally one thing, one unit. And I started thinking and realized that, in fact, if you look at the words of Sim Shalom, it's more or less a recapitulation and not in the same order of Birchas Kohanim. Sim Shalom Tova Bracha is V'yosem Lecha Shalom. And then in there you ask Barchenu Avinu, that's the closest you get to Yivarecha Hashem Yishmecha, but Bi'or Panecha, Kivor Panecha Nasa Talanu, etc. That's Yo'er Hashem Panave Lecha V'choneka. So Sim Shalom is really the same contents as what we ask for in Birchas Kohanim. So it isn't surprising, perhaps, that the Gemara might refer to this, that the claim is that the Mishnah in Tamid is referring to this Sim Shalom as Birchas Kohanim. But in the article, he makes reference to, he doesn't refer to this Mishnah, actually, or the Gemara here, but he makes reference to a Mishnah that I would argue is probably more explicit. I'm going to share my screen with you now, share my Bar Ilan. And in the Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah, in the fourth parak, so the Mishnah talks about, the Mishnayis talk about where you blew shofar, meaning where you said Malchus, Sichronos, and Shofars. We have a very definite Seder, the way we do things, which was we say the first three brachos normally, and then we combine Kedushas Hayom, meaning Mekadesh Yisrael V'Yom HaZikaron, with Malchios. So we get Melech HaKol HaOretz, Mekadesh Yisrael V'Yom HaZikaron. We put those two brachos together. If you look in the Mishnah Hey, in the last and in the fourth and final parak of Rosh Hashanah, the Mishnah says the following: Seder brachos Omer Avos Gevuros Kedushas Hashem V'Kolo Malchios Imahem. So this is not, this is the first opinion. It's Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. We don't accept this detail. He says that you actually put Malchios with Kedushas Hashem, not with Kedushas Hayom. So you have a really, really, really long third bracha in your Chazar Sashatz and a much shorter fourth bracha. And he says, "Ve'edo tokeh." You don't blow the shofar again. That's not our issue now. It's very strange. Kedusha Sayom is the fourth bracha. V'tokeh, you blow in that. Zichronos is the fifth bracha. V'tokeh, shofros v'tokeh. So those are six brachas so far. And then ve'omer, and look at this: avoda, v'hoda'a, u'birchas kohanim. So he describes the last bracha, which I presume is Sim Shalom. It is labeled as birchas kohanim. I don't think he talks about this, Rav Lichtenstein talks about this in the article, but I assume that the Svardim say Sim Shalom. I think Nusach Svard says Sim Shalom at Mincha, but not at Marav. I think real Svardim say Sim Shalom all the time.
Nusach Svard says Sim Shalom in Marav also.
They do. Nusach Ari or real Svard?
Nusach Svard, not Svard, like Hasidic Svard.
Really? They say Sim Shalom? And okay. I wasn't under that impression, but I, you know.
I use a Sidur called Rinat Israel, which is what most of these shuls use. It has Sim Shalom in there. It doesn't have Shalom Rav anywhere in the city.
Interesting. Okay. So the Ashkenazi practice, though, if you'll note, is when do we say Sim Shalom? I know somebody's going to say we say it during Shachris. Shachris is not the only time we say Sim Shalom. When else do we say Sim Shalom? Lenny, you look like you're going to say something.
Yeah, fast day.
On fast days at Mincha. And what else do we say at fast days at Mincha? Birchas Kohanim. Right? We normally don't say Birchas Kohanim at Mincha because you don't duchen at Mincha. The reason why you don't duchen at Mincha because we're afraid the Kohanim will be drunk. We only duchen at Shacharis when we presume nobody has eaten before. On a fast day, we duchen at every tefillah. Right? So we would we duchen at Mincha, and if it were Yom Kippur, we would duchen at Ne'ilah, which creates headaches in Eretz Yisrael because we wait a crazy amount of time as Bein HaShemashos, like 40 minutes, 50 minutes, but you have to get to Birchas Kohanim in Chazaras HaShatz before Shkia. And yet you don't want to finish Ne'ilah until Tzedes HaKochavim, which means I think a lot of places in yeshivas, they say Tehillim for a long time because there's a limit to how far you can stretch out Sim Shalom and Avinu Malkeinu and Shema Baruch Shem and Hashem Hu Elokim. In Chutz Laretz, we don't have that problem. Since we're not really duchening, we don't really care if we say the Pesukim Elokeinu Elokei Avoseinu, and we say that well past Shkia. But
according to the Matzah Harav, the Rav never said Shalom, we always said Sim Shalom.
Okay, so that's more like the Sephardic practice, but the standard Ashkenazic practice makes sense if you assume that Sim Shalom is really, it's a full version of Birchas Kohanim. And once you're not saying Birchas Kohanim, we have a bracha of Avarech Sama Yisrael Ba'Shalom, but really Shalom Barba Yisrael M'chatasin Olam, there's almost nothing there. I mean, it's asking for peace, but you know, it's not, you don't see it as modeled upon Birchas Kohanim. So I assume that the Ashkenazi practice of reciting Sim Shalom only when there is Duchanan, I mean, only in our case, we say Elokeinu Elokei Avoseinu, is related to the fact that Sim Shalom and Birchas Kohanim are fundamentally one. Okay. Anyway, those are the three opinions in the Rishon of what Birchas Kohanim means here. Rashi says Birchas Kohanim literally. Tosa says they would just recite the Psukim. And then a block of Svardi Rishonim say that Birchas Kohanim here refers actually to the Bracha of Sim Shalom. It's nothing to do with Kohanim Duchening. It's, you know, no act of Duchening or not even the Psukim of Birchas Kohanim. Okay. And then let's go back now to the Mishnah, the text in the Gemara on Yud Aleph Amud Beis, six lines before they get very wide at the end of the previous line. Uv Shabbos Mosifin Bracha Achas LeMishmar Hayotze. On Shabbos, the Mishmar Hanichnas, the Kohanim were divided into 24 families, and each family did the avod on the Beis HaMikdash for 1 week, and then they would cycle around. You got to do it about 2 and a sixth times a year, something like that. I should say that about probably 2 and a sixth times a year. I can't know if I can do the math straight. Maybe not. Maybe 2 and 12 times a year, something like that. But two times, and then a few extra weeks. In truth, I'm not sure how. I don't remember how they handled Yom Tov. Yom Tov was a kind of complicated. But bottom line is the handoff would take place on Shabbos. The Mishmar that was leaving brought the Tumid in the morning on Shabbos. The Mishmar that was entering brought the Tumid Shobein Harbayim. The Lechem HaPanim used to be divided, and not equally. It was 7 and 5. I don't remember who got the 7, who got the 5. At the end of the day, you got 12. One way between the 2 weeks that you were getting lechem apanim, if you were going, you were getting your mishmar was getting 12 loaves of lechem apanim. So here the Gemara says that the Mishnah says that the Mishmar that was entering the Mishmar that was leaving would give a bracha to the Mishmar that was first coming in. So the Gemara will talk about later what the text of that bracha is. But the Mishnah says, Ubishamis Mosifan Bracha Achas Le Mishmar Hayotze. So my bracha achas, this is not, so now the Mishnah's over. Now the Gemara asks, my bracha achas. And this is not the bracha achas of the previous line. This is the bracha achas at the beginning of the Mishnah. Amar Lahem Hamamuna, Baruchu Bracha Achas, Vehim Berchu. And it's assumed to be one of the two berchos of Kriyashma. So the Gemara says, my bracha achas. Which bracha was it? Ki ha, the Rabbi Abba, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Abba, Baraba, iklo lahu asra. These two Amoraim, Rabbi Abba and Rabbi Yosef Baraba, I don't know if it was a father and son or just happened to be, that was the names, visited a certain place. Ba'u minayhu, they asked them a question. They were learning Mishnayos. They had the Mishnah Yomi. So my bracha achas, So lo haba b'yadayim. They didn't have it. They didn't know what it was. So they came and they asked Rav Matana. Lo haba b'yadayim. He didn't know either what the bracha was. Asu b'shailua l'Rav Yehuda. They came and they asked Rav Yehuda. Amar lahu, Rav Yehuda said to them, Hachi Amar Shmuel, Ava Rabba. Shmuel said that the bracha that the Kohanim recited before Kriyashma was Ava Rabba. Okay. Now, why didn't they recite, why did they recite only Ava Rabba? There are two possibilities. What it seems to be the less likely possibility is they didn't have enough time. Now, the truth is they weren't doing things b'kitzer. It's not so unlikely. It's not so unlikely, but it seems hard to imagine that they couldn't have squeezed in one more bracha. Maybe they could have skipped the Aseret Dibros, but it's possible they didn't have time. The other possibility, which is what the Gemara is going to explore in the next opinion, is that maybe it was too early to say Yotzer Or. Maybe it makes no sense to say Yotzer Or when it's still dark out. If the bracha is Yotzer HaMa'oros and you can't see them, maybe it makes no sense to say it. But whatever the reason was, Rabbi Huda quoted Shmuel as saying that the bracha that the Kohanim made was Ava Rabba. However, now the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Zreika, probably should be Rabbi Zreika, in the name of Ami, quotes a different tradition. Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, Yotzer Or. Okay, there were two possibilities, and we have two Amorim, one matching each of the possibilities. So, ki asa Rav Yitzchak bar Yosef, when Rav Yitzchak bar Yosef came from Eretz Yisrael to Babel, he said, had the Rabbi Zreika lav b'feirash itmar ela michlala itmar. When Rabbi Zreika cited, Rav Ami citing Reish Lakish, I don't know if it's Reish Lakish or Rabbi Ami, but he never heard this explicitly. It was an inference from something else that either Reish Lakish did or said. Now, this is not unheard of in the Gemara. There are about 20 places in Shas or so where the Gemara will say, Hadar Aploni, lav b'feirish itmar, ela michlala itmar, that it was never stated explicitly, but it was inferred. Either from another statement or from something that the Amora did. Now, sometimes the Gemara will conclude the section by stating, they'll want to know, my michlala, what was it, what, how did they infer it? What did he say? What did he do that made them think that he held this way? And sometimes the Gemara will say, velohi, and it's wrong. It's an incorrect inference. You got it wrong. That in this case, if this happened in this case, we would say Reish Lakish never said such, not only never say such a thing, he doesn't think that there's no evidence that he thinks that it's Yotzer Or. So sometimes the Gemara flat out rejects the inference. Sometimes it will accept the inference, and sometimes it will leave open the possibility that the inference is not clear cut, even though the Gemara doesn't reach a definitive conclusion. So the Gemara now explains, Rabbi Yitzchak bar Yosef explains how it was inferred. The third line from the bottom, to Amar Rabbi Yisraika, Amar Rabbi Ami, Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, Zos Omeres Brachos in Ma'akbo Zoezo. This Mishnah teaches us that the Brachos are not Ma'akvos Zoezo. This is a very interesting kind of statement, and it's taken on in the Rishonim maybe a slightly different life. The simplest reading of the Gemara, and the one that probably many, I think, would adopt, is that this relates to, the best way to describe this is the following. If you have a tefillin shel yad, but you don't have a tefillin shel rosh, or you have a tefillin shel rosh and you don't have a tefillin shel yad, do you put the one that you have on? The answer is yes. Now, supposing I have a four-cornered garment, and I have white strings, but I don't have tcheles to dye the other one's strings. So I can fulfill what's called the mitzvah of lavan, but I can't fulfill the mitzvah of tcheles. So do I put on tzitzis on the four-cornered garment, and can I wear it that way? Or do we say, no, if I don't have both the lavan and the tcheles, there's nothing to talk about. So what do we say there? I think everybody knows the answer to that question, because I assume many here are wearing an arba kanfos, and are not necessarily wearing tcheles on it. So the answer is yes. If you don't have tcheles, so you just wear lavan. Okay. What happens if I'm putting tzitzis on my garment and I run out of strings and I only have enough for three corners? So what do I do? Do I put on the three corners? Or do I say I can't wear the beged? Or if you want an analogy when it comes to tefillin, supposing I'm making this beautiful tefillin, I've made the boxes already. I already have the black box ready to go. And I'm writing the klaf of the parshios. And let's say I'm on the shel yad, on the shel rosh, keep it that way. In the shel rosh, there are four compartments. We break it down into four. We cut the parshios. They're each on a separate klaf. And I only have three klafim. So I can write Shema. I can write Vayam Shemoa. I can write Kadesh Li Kol Bechor. You know what? The Vayah Kiviyacha is pretty small. I don't have another klaf. So the question is, should I put on the tefillin and just have three parshios? So what's the answer? The answer is, to the last two questions, no. The source for these halachos are a series of mishnayos that are located in Maseches Menachos. In fact, in the spirit, since we have to mention Hanukkah today, I'll mention Hanukkah. Why is Hanukkah not in the Mishnah? Why is Hanukkah not in the Mishnah? Now, firstly, there's a little bit, I don't want to say an urban legend to this. Hanukkah is not mentioned in the Mishnah, would be categorically incorrect. Hanukkah is referred to probably like seven times in the Mishnah. And at least in one place, Ner Hanukkah is referred to as well. In Bava Kama, dealing with damages. If you're Ner Hanukkah, you put outside your store and something gets lit on it, and who's liable for if you're liable for the damages or not. But in yeshiva, in elementary school, in yeshiva, in day school, why we're told something, why is Hanukkah not in the Mishnah? Rabbi Lichtenstein, were you told something why Hanukkah wasn't in the Mishnah?
I don't remember, but I'm sure the... Oh, I mean, why?
Why?
Oh,
why?
No.
So, does anybody ever taught anything? I was taught two things.
Yes, because the Hashmonaim took the Kahuna and the Malchus.
And Rebbe was a scion of the Davidic line, and he was resentful of the Hasmoneans for having usurped the throne. That's one version. An alternative but similar version is that Rebbe was afraid of invoking the wrath of the Romans, and since the Hasmoneans had been a rebellious dynasty, something like that, he didn't want to put it there. Now, the truth is, such a thing is possible, but given that Hanukkah is mentioned a number of times in the Mishnah, it seems to me highly unlikely. That seems to be in the category of Chodesh Cheshvan, being called Mar Cheshvan because it's bitter or something like that. Slightly better version than Mar Cheshvan. Mar Cheshvan, we know, as I've spoken about, is categorically wrong. That's the name of the month, is Mar Cheshvan. But it's possible. But I want to make a simple observation. Where are the laws of tefillin discussed in the Mishnah? Where are the laws of tzitzis discussed in the Mishnah?
Menachos.
Where are the laws of Sefer Torah discussed in the Mishnah?
In Menachos.
Well, there barely, you talk about, basically nowhere is the answer, Isaac. In other words, yes, what I'm about to come to is that the Gemara discusses tefillin and tzitzis and mezuzah and Sefer Torah. Almost all that material is a Menachos in the third and the fourth parak, which you might think is a little bit strange because you didn't bring tefillin on the Mizbeach. Right? A tefillin is not a flower offering or any other kind of carbon, and ditto for tzitzis. So but my larger point is regards to Hanukkah is that we don't know why certain areas in Halacha and things that are more extensive than Hanukkah never made it into the Mishnah, but they did it for some reason. It's a very good question as to why. Why is there no Hilchos Tefillin, Hilchos Tzitzis? There are actually, but they're not real Mishnayos. They're these, what we call Masechta Zutos, that are printed in the Vilna Shas at the end of Seder Nezikin, in the volume that contains Avodah Zarah. When we learned Avodah Zarah, if you had taken Avodah Zarah out of your Shas, it may even been in the Avodah Zarahs that we had. In the back, they print these Masechta Zutos, like Avos de Rabbi Nasan, and Maseches Kala, and Maseches Tzitzis, and Maseches Gerim, etc., etc. So you have, but these are not real Mishnayos. This is kind of late collections, maybe even post-Talmudic collections, that were collected from earlier sources. So bottom line is tzitzis and tefillin and Hanukkah are not in the Mishnah. But tzitzis and tefillin, so Hanukkah makes basically all the laws of Hanukkah are in Masechta Shabbos in the second perek by Memadlikin, because once you're talking about Neiros Shabbos, the Gemara has an excuse to talk. There's a linkage to Neiros Hanukkah, and then the Gemara goes off for almost three and a half block talking about the laws of Hanukkah. But tzitzis and tefillin happen to be discussed in the Gemara in Maseches Menachos. The question is, okay, so Isaac, You know that it's in Maseches Menachos. Do you remember why it's in Maseches Menachos? Right. So the answer to that, if you go back and look at the Mishnayos, is very simple. I believe the Mishnah starts in the third parak talking about which elements of a Karban Mincha are indispensable. And if you have one, but you're missing the other, don't bother. You have, in a mincha, you have shemen, you have soles, you have lavona. So the shemen is ma'akev is the soles, and the soles is ma'akev is the shemen. If you only have the soles and you have no oil, you can't bring the mincha. It doesn't, you haven't done a mitzvah incompletely, you haven't done anything at all. So the Mishnah goes through a few of those things related to menachos, and then kedarko bakodesh, Rebbe or his editors, then go off on a tangent of all sorts of other things where when it is ma'akev so-so and when it is not ma'akev so-so, meaning when does one part prevent the other from being useful and prevent any kind of fulfillment, and when can you do one? Obviously, you're supposed to do all the parts, but even sometimes, if you only have one part, that's sufficient. So by tefillin, if you don't have all four parshios in one tefillah, in either the Shal or Shavosh, don't bother. You don't. It's a probably Baal Tigra, don't put it on. If you have either the Tefillah Shel Yad or the Tefillah Shel Rosh, so then you put on whichever one you have. Same thing with tzitzis. If you only have lavan, you don't have cheles, so you wear the tzitzis anyway. But if you only have enough strings for three of the four corners, don't bother. You don't wear the beged, you don't put on tzitzis. That's the end. So the question is the following. If I'm going to make one bracha before Kriya Shema, is it meaningful or not? Are brachos ma'akvos so-so? I could have said, there are actually two questions to ask. The first question is, are the birchos Kriya Shema ma'akev Kriya Shema? Now, the answer to that question presumably be, of course, no, because we would always, there are lots and lots of proofs, ostensibly, that if you don't say the brachos, you still yotze Kriya Shema. For example, at night, when you go to bed and you recite the real Kriya Shema, if you daven earlier, as we learned at the beginning of the Masechta, we don't make any brachos at night when we repeat Kriya Shema. Right, we don't say like some of the Gaonim quoted Asher Kiddushanu Tosavet Tzivanu L'Kros Hashma. We don't repeat Yotzer Or and Amarev Haravim and Avas Olam and Emes when afterwards. We don't repeat any brachos. So certainly there. When you come to shul, this is not as good a proof, perhaps. When you come to shul, if on the occasions where Sof Zman Kriya Shema in the morning is after is before you would get the Kriya Shema in shul. So you hopefully remind people to say Kriya Shema before you get to shul. And then you're still in the fourth hour when you say Birchos Kriya Shema and you daven. So if in fact Birchos Kriya Shema were ma'akev, they prevented you from fulfilling the mitzvah of reading Shema, then presumably you should read them earlier when you say Shema in order to fulfill your obligation. So there are a lot of indications that on the surface, at least, it's very hard to imagine anybody would say that Birchos Kriya Shema are ma'akev as Shema.
Rabbi, yes. But in tefillin, wouldn't tefillin depend if it's one mitzvah, shel yad, and separately for shel rosh, or if it's two mitzvot? Like the Sfaradim don't make a bracha, and we make it quietly. So wouldn't that, in other words, if it's one bracha, so you're doing a half a mitzvah, it's a bracha levatola.
So the answer, answer that question very, very quickly. You have tefillin is two mitzvahs. It doesn't matter how many brachas you make. And it happens to be, by the way, you should be aware, if you only have a tefillin shel rosh, Sfaradim make the bracha of laniach tefillin on that, Ashkenazim make both brachos on the one tefillah. So, but brachos can be separated from number of mitzvahs, and that's clear in the discussion of the Rishonim and Pesachim Daf Zayin about what the nusach ha-bracha is, al or le, separate topic. But bottom line is tefillin, you're correct fundamentally in terms of whether things are ma'akev zozo. It would typically be reflected, not always though, in the Monei HaMitzos. Now, as the Rambam, I believe, counts the tefillin as two separate mitzvahs. But Tcheles and Lavan are not two separate mitzvahs, even though they're not ma'akev zozo. So it's not an absolutely ironclad rule. So anyway, keeping it in Kriya Shema for the moment. So the question would be, presumably the brachos on ma'akev is Kriya Shema. That, and in the end of the day, that's actually what we hold. But the question would be, if I don't have time to make both brachos of Kriya Shema, does it make sense to even make one? Or would you say brachos on ma'akev zozo? It's a package deal. You say all the brachos of Kriya Shema or don't bother. So the Gemara says that Reish Lakish said, he made a statement looking, Reish Lakish learned our Mishnah, and he said, Zoso Meris, this Mishnah shows you that brachos are not ma'akos oso. That if you only make one bracha, it's okay. Now, if you and I looked at that and said, that's very nice, I could have said the same thing. Doesn't take a genius to realize that. That if they only made the Mamuna said to them, make one bracha, and then they do that, and then they read Kriya Shema, it doesn't take a genius to realize that, brachos are not ma'akos oso, because they only made one. So how did Reish Lakish infer from, why did Reish Lakish think that was such an ingenious observation? So the Gemara is going to explain. E amris bishlama yotzer arhava. If Reish Lakish understood the, again, Reish Lakish doesn't say to us which bracha before Kriya Shema was. He just makes a comment based upon the fact that they, Berachu brachachas. So the Gemara says, bishlama, if it was yotzer, or if that's what Reish Lakish thought, then amre, havu amre, if that's what they said, then hainu the brachos in ma'akva zoso, the loka amre avarava. In other words, if the bracha that the Kohanim made was yotzer or, then the only reason they didn't make avarava is because they didn't want to take the time to do so. It's not that they couldn't have said avarava, because if you were able to say yotzer or, even though it was so early in the morning, despite the fact that yotzer or is an astronomically connected bracha, then certainly avarava, which is fundamentally a birchas hashevach of Torah, certainly they could have said that then. And the fact that they only said yotzer or and they didn't say avarava, so presumably it means they never said avarava, because otherwise they would have said it right then. But ela I amris avarava havu amre, if in fact the bracha, if Reish Lakish had assumed that the Mishnah meant avarava, not yotzer or, my brachos and ma'akos zoazo. How do you know that the brachos are not ma'akos, that you can read one bracha without the other and you still, it's still meaningful? What, how do you know that? Maybe Dilma haidelo amre yotzer or mishum delo mitazman yotzer or. Maybe the reason why they did it, if the bracha that Reish Lakish assumed that the Kohanim were saying were in fact avaraba like Shmuel, then maybe the reason why they didn't say yotzer or is because it was too early. And then v'chi mita zaman yotzer or havu amri. Who's to say that the Kohanim later, it was too early. They wanted to daven, but it was too early to say everything. So they said avaraba, they said aser sadibers, they said shema, they said emes v'yatsim, they said whatever, they said avoda, birchas kohanim, and so on. They finished the avoda, and later they said yotzer or. In other words, the fact that they weren't saying yotzer or when they said all the other stuff might have been because it was too early to say yotzer or and they finished it later. But if you assume that the bracha that Reish Lakish had in mind was yotzer or in the Mishnah, then I understand the fact that they didn't say avarabba then, and they could have meant they weren't going to bother with avarabba. You were doing a lot of other things in the mikdash, you got a pitur. So you see that brachos are not ma'akos oso. So from Reish Lakish's claim, from his inference in the Mishnah, Rabbi Zreika Amar of Ami concluded that Reish Lakish must have been assuming that the Mishnah's bracha achas was yotzer or, that the Kohanim never said avarava then, and they weren't going to say it later. And that's why Reish Lakish said that the brachos zosomeris, you can infer from the Mishnah, brachos ein ma'atbo zoaso. Okay, so now the Gemara on the fourth line, on your Beis Amin Aleph, says that it says the following. Our Girsa says, V'i michlala mai. Which means, tell me something. Let's say, that when you say that somebody didn't, when I say that Rabbi Luchstein says the following, and someone says, you never heard Rabbi Luchstein say that, and I say, it's true, but I inferred from something that he said or did that that's what he holds. So someone might then, now the reason to challenge me of not being a direct quotation of the rabbi is because it could be that my inference is wrong. If I say Rabbi Luchstein said these words to me, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, then there's no debating it. He could have said something to somebody else, but nonetheless, I can say he told me these words. But if it was something that he did, there might have been another explanation for why he did what he did. So the way we have our girsa is V'i mechlala mai. Now, when you say v'i mechlala mai, usually the implication of those words is that the din is correct. The inference is correct, even though it's not compelling. It's not mukhrach. That's exactly, and as you can't prove it, but nonetheless, it appears to be accepted. As if imichlola mai. Okay, and tell me, if it were only, usually the Gemara uses this expression, what it's going to say, when the Gemara will ask somebody, did so-and-so say it to you explicitly, or did you infer it? And you'll say, he said it explicitly, but tell me, what would be bad about my inference? Imichlola mai. So it sounds like really the Gemara accepts the inference, but it's pointing out that there could be another way of reading it. However, some Rishonim say that we don't have the words v'imichlal amai now, and the next two words as well. And then the Gemara says le'olam. No, the Gemara says no. Bad inference. You can't prove anything. So these two versions aren't so far apart, but one of them leans more towards saying that this is the accepted position of what Reish Lakish said. Whereas the other one makes it sound like, nah, yeah, no reason to assume that he actually holds that way. Now, how could we, in fact, set aside Reish Lakish's opinion? How could Reish Lakish have inferred, if in fact Reish Lakish were assuming that the bracha and the Mishnah were Ava Rabba, how could he assume that brachos are not ma'akbo zo'aso? Maybe they said yotzer or later when the proper time to say it came. So the Gemara says, La'olam Ava Rabba Hava Amri. No, it was Ava Rabba. V'chi mita zaman yotzer or havu amri lay. And indeed, the reason why they didn't say yotzer or for Reish Lakish would be because it was too early. And when the sun rose later, they indeed said yotzer or. Umay, but then how did Reish Lakish say brachos ema akvasuaso? The Kohanim were making both brachos. What do you mean? They're doing both mitzvos. How could you say? Of course they're not akvasuaso. So the Gemara says, Umay brachos ema akvasuaso? Seder brachos. The order of the brachos doesn't matter, which means, I mean, we don't normally do this, but for whatever reason, you got a mishagas in your head. You walked in, you felt very strongly, you need to say Avar Abba first. And then you say Yotzer Or. Okay, it's not the end of the world. And then you read Shema. Not the end of the world. But if that's the case, then we understand what Reish Lakish's inference was. In other words, they said Avar Abba. They didn't say Yotzer Or because it was too early. Later in the day, they said Yotzer Or. So they're saying both brachos, but they're not saying them in order. And therefore, that's what Reish Lakish, he didn't mean to say brachos, might be ma'akbo zo'aso, but say the making both, don't make one if you're not eventually going to make the other. But to have to do them in the order that we normally do them, yotzer or an avaraba, that's not compelled. That isn't ma'akev. Obviously, ideally you say berchos kriyashma with kriyashma in the proper order, but if for whatever reason you didn't, okay, it's not ma'akev. Now the question is, do we paskin that Berachos Kriya Shema, if the Gemara wins in its reinterpretation of Reish Lakish, if it's Docha, so are the Berachos Ma'akbo so-and-so or not? Now, this actually goes a step further, because this gets into a discussion, are Berachos Ma'akbos at all? So there is a Mishnah at the beginning of the next parak. The good news is you only have to turn one page for it. And I'm trying to look for the page. The first Mishnah and the second parak says the following. Hayakore batora vihigi asman hamikra. You were learning chumash. I pulled my chumash off the shelf. I'm reading it. And then Zman Kriyashma comes. And guess what? I happen to be reading Parash of Kriyashma. And I read a lot in between. I read Get the Vahayim Shamoa. Forget the third parasha for the moment. And the question is, am I Yotze or not? So the Mishnah says, Im kive libo yatza. If when I read Shema, I had intent, and the Gemara is going to talk about what that intent means, but I had an intent, then I can be Yotze. Now, there's one thing I'm pretty sure that you are not doing when you are sitting and learning Chumash during the time they're reading Kriya Shema, and you happen to be reading the Parshas of Kriya Shema. And you know what that is? You're not making Berachos Kriya Shema. Because if in the middle of your reading Chumash at 8:30 in the morning on Shabbos, you all of a sudden, before you read Shema, say Ava Rabba, say Yotzer Or, the Mishnah doesn't need to say Im Kivein Libo Yatza. There isn't any greater Kavanas Halei for Kriya Shema when you stop in the middle of your Chumash reading and before you read Shema, you say Birchas Kriya Shema. It's like that's as big of an announcement as you can get, that I am reading Shema now for the mitzvah Kriya Shema. So from the Mishnah itself, it seems pretty clear. It seems pretty clear that Birchas Kriya Shema are not Ma'akev Shema. Right? Obviously, you're supposed to say Birchas Kriya Shema, but if you didn't, you're Yotzei Shema. There is, however, a position attributed to Rav Haigon, and it's I don't really understand the position, frankly, but it's quoted by the Rashba and others that there's a difference between Yochid and Tzibur. A Yochid, you're Yotzei Kriya Shema without the brachos, but a Tzibur somehow is not Yotzei. Now, I don't really know what that means, because there is a practice that we generally don't do anymore. It's called to be Poreis al Hashma. By Poreis al Hashma, the Chazan would get up and he would read all the brachos out loud. And the Tzibur would just listen. They would respond amen. The only thing that Tzibur had to do on their own was to read Kriya Shema. There's no Shomea Ka'ona by Kriya Shema. Nobody else can read Kriya Shema for you. At best, if you don't read Kriya Shema, somebody can read it to you word by word and you repeat. But Kriya Shema was the one thing that everybody did. So even though you're doing it, Betzibur, I don't really understand what it means that if you didn't make brachos, you didn't hear the brachos, what does that mean to be ma'akev? It doesn't, that's not the opinion fundamentally that's accepted. The one thing that is mentioned in Shulchan Aruch that is accepted by the Gra and the Mishnah Berurah is that if you happen to be, for example, let's say Shabbos is not now, not this time of year, but sometimes during, I don't know when, whenever Sof Zman Kriya Shema is late, whatever time of year that is. And you're going to shul, but you heard the rabbi's announcement the previous night or the gabbai's announcement, please remember to recite Kriya Shema before you come to shul tomorrow morning. And so you did. And now comes the shul. And you know what? The people are itching to get out. So I have a brilliant idea. We all said Kriya Shema already. So let's say Baruch Hu, let's say Yotzer Or, let's say Avo Rabba, and as soon as we say HaBocher B'Amo Yisrael B'Avo, now let's say MSV Yatzev Enochon, etc. We could save time. We can cut out Kriya Shema, save a couple of minutes. So nonetheless, the practice is that one is, the Shulchan Aruch mentions, I think, that one should say Kriya Shema during that time. You're not being Yotzei Kriya Shema then, you're being Yotzei Birchos Kriya Shema. But the idea that if you said Shema and you didn't say the brachos, you wouldn't be Yotzei, even Betzibur, is very, very difficult to understand. That's what's attributed to Rav Haigon. That isn't a position that is accepted halacha l'maisa. Okay. So anyway, so the Gemara, what is absolutely definitively clear is that according to Reish Lakish, brachos ein ma'ak bozo, a seder brachos is not ma'ak bozo, and presumably Shmuel would agree to that, because Shmuel said that the one bracha that they recited, Shmuel said explicitly, was Ava Rabba. Reish Lakish didn't say explicitly, but he could have been referring to Ava Rabba. So if he was, both he and Shmuel would agree that you said Ava Rabba. You didn't say Yotzer Or because it was too early. You said Yotzer Or probably later, and therefore you see at the very least, the order of the brachos is not ma'ake. If you do it in the wrong order, you're Yotzei Birchos Kriya Shema. Okay. One more very brief passage in the Gemara, which is the Aseres HaDibros. The Gemara says on your base Amin Aleph on the eighth line, V'koron Aseres HaDibros Shema V'ayam Shema V'ayomer Emes V'yatze V'avoda Birchas Kohanim. The citation from the Mishnah earlier, but without those five words. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Af Bigvulin Bikshu Likros Kain, Ela Shekvar Bitlum Mini Tarumas Aminim. Apparently, there are those who wanted to institute that when you say Shema, during every day that you say Shema, after you say Habocher Ba'amo Yisrael Be'avo, you would start the following, Vayidaber Moshe, Vayidaber Elokim, Eis kol hadvarim ha'ele limor. Anochi Hashem elokech asho tzeisicha me'eretz mitzrayim mi'beis avadim. Etc. etc. Lo sachmod beis re'echa, lo sachmod eish re'echa, etc. etc. And then...
Hol asher l're'echa.
Hol asher l're'echa, and then you would say Shema Yisrael Hashem elokeinu Hashem echad. That's what they wanted to do, like they did in the Beis HaMikdash. But because of the tarumes haminim, Rashi says, Akum, my note in the Gemara says that originally it said Talmidei Yeshu. I don't know if either is original, let's put it that way. But there were some heretics who apparently would have said that the only important things are the only things that were truly given at Sinai were things like Shema and Anochi Hashem Elokecha. And therefore, to prevent people from getting the impression that the Aseres HaDibros are somehow more special than everything else, or maybe the Aseres HaDibros and Kriya Shema are the only two things, therefore, by leaving out, by not saying Anochi Hashem Elokecha, which everybody would agree was said by, was given at Sinai, you're making it clear that you're not, by reading Kriya Shema, making a statement that this is somehow more special than the rest of the Torah, because the rest of the Torah really wasn't Misinai. So that was with the Taromes Haminim, the grumblings of the heretics. Tanya Nami Hachi, a Braisa taught this as well. Rabbi Nasan Omer Bigvulim Bikshu Likros Kain, Ela Shekfar Bitlum at Mei Taromes Haminim. The Abraisa says the same thing. They wanted to do this outside the Beis HaMikdash, but they abandoned the practice because of the heretics. Rabba Barchana Savar Lamikpe Inu Besura. Rabba Barchana wanted to institute this when he was the leader in Sura. Amar Le Ruchista Kfar Bitlum Mei Taromes Haminim. Ruchista said, no, it's already been done away with. Ameimar Savar Lamikpe Inu Benarda. Ameimar, much, much, much later. Ameimar is probably fifth or sixth generation. He wanted to institute it in Arda. Amar Le Ravashi Kfar Bitlum Mei Taromes Haminim. The exact same story. Now, this Gemara is interesting for two reasons. One, I think, is rather famous. Some people, is the Minhag in KJ to stand up during the Aseres HaDibros?
Yes.
Yes. So there are people who staunchly object to that custom.
Right.
The person who staunchly objected to that custom, for starters, was a certain rabbi who lived in Egypt in the 12th century into the 13th century. His name was Moses Maimonides. It is not, as far as I know, mentioned in the Mishnah Torah, but it was a tshuva. The Rambam was asked the following. Apparently, some community, once upon a time, the practice had been that they stood there, Aseres HaDibros. Came along a rabbi, and he stamped out that practice and made them sit. And that had been going for a very long time. And then and that rabbi died, and then a new rabbi came to town. And that new rabbi decided they should stamp in the Aseres HaDibros. And there were some people who objected. They didn't want to abandon the minhag of the previous rabbi. And so they turned to the Rambam for guidance. And the Rambam said categorically that it is inappropriate to stand for the Aseres HaDibros, and they should be listening to the minhag that the now deceased rabbi, in fact, had instituted in the community. Precisely because of this Gemara, which is, people would say, oh, the Aseres HaDibros are really the word of God, but not really anything else. Now, the truth is, this objection presumably doesn't apply. My personal practice is I don't stand up for anything, unless I happen to be the Gabbai Sheni, in which case I'm already standing, or if I'm leaning. But even if one objects to standing for the Aseres HaDibros, that objection should not carry through for something like Shiras Hayam, which I imagine probably stand for, and people often stand up for the Chazak at the end of the Sefer, and that also shouldn't apply, because you can't say that anybody's going to say, oh, Shiras Hayam was given at Har Sinai, but nothing else. Now, so that's point number one. Point number two, which is of interest, and I have spoken about this, not in probably in a special shiur that I gave many years ago at KJ. I mean, special means not on the Gemara, not on the blot, is that this Gemara here, particularly with not just the Aseres HaDibros, but the Aseres HaDibros and Kriya Shema, has echoes in a very important passage in the Rambam. The Rambam had 13 principles of faith. And the one that probably is most salient to discussions that take place today happens to be the eighth Ikar, Torah Min HaShemayim, or Torah Misinai, because it's the only one that today, in a meaningful way, is a flashpoint for some people. And the question is, what did the Rambam say in the eighth Ikar? In some circles, including whoever wrote the Ani Mamins, which was not the Rambam, it's popular to assume that the Rambam believed that our Sifrei Torah are exactly the same Sefer Torah, letter for letter, without any changes, let's say accidental changes even, from the Sefer Torah that Moshe Rabbeinu gave us. Now, that statement is assumed by most Rishonim and large numbers of Achronim to be categorically false. In other words, it's not true. Our Sefer Torah almost certainly doesn't match exactly Moshe Rabbeinu's Sefer Torah. Errors happen in transmission. We have so much evidence from Chazal of that. That's not a surprise. But the question people often ask, well, when you point to them that the Rashba disagree, that the Rashba says X, and Rashi says X, and Tosa says X, they say, what do you do with the Rambam's eighth Ikar? So when you actually look at the eighth Ikar of the Rambam and read carefully, what you'll see is that in almost every printed edition of the Rambam, with the exception of Kappa, and when you read the Mishnah Torah as well, when he repeats the Ikar in Hilchos Tshuva in the third chapter, The Rambam's eighth ikar really has nothing to do with the transmission of the text. The Rambam's eighth principle of faith is about the authenticity or reliability of Moshe Rabbeinu, that anything that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote in the Torah, it was because God told him to do so, not because Moshe Rabbeinu added even one letter on his own. And when the Rambam describes this, by the way, the proof, the pasuk that the Rambam quotes to prove from the Torah to prove the eighth ikar is when Moshe Rabbeinu says to Korach, "Bezos te deun, ki Hashem shlachani lasos es kol amasima eilek kilomi libi." When the earth is about to swallow up Korach, Moshe Rabbeinu says to them, "This is the proof. This is how you're going to know that everything that I've done, all the laws that I give you, making Aaron Kohen Gadol, making the Levium the Levium, none of this I did on my own. Every single thing was because God told me to do." That's the pasuk that the Rambam cites as the capstone to the eighth ikar. Now, what's interesting is when the Rambam says that the heresy of someone who denies this principle is that he thinks that in the Torah, it's as if there's a toch and a klipa. There's an inside the core, and then there's a shell. And we believe that every word in the Torah is part of the toch, has kedusha. And when the Rambam cites examples to distinguish that what the heretic might say, he might say that this is from Moshe, but this is not. So the examples that he cites for things that are not from Moshe Rabbeinu are stuff from the genealogies, like we read 2 weeks ago, Visimna Haisafi Legesh. And the things that the Rambam cites as examples that even the heretic acknowledges came from God are Anochi and Shema. And it's impossible not to see the echoes of this Gemara and Taromas Aminim right in the eighth ikar there. The Rambam chooses those two examples. Again, he leaves a very big gap in between. He doesn't give those two examples as things that the heretic acknowledges God gave Moshe and then picks a bunch of halachos and mitzvos that Moshe wrote on his own. He doesn't. He gives two extremes. He gives Anochi and Shema on the one hand, and he gives genealogies, which sometimes we do wonder, why did God tell Moshe Rabbeinu to write them, even though he did? But the key is that he chooses these two parshios, which are what they said in the Mikdash right after Avarava, which is what Chazal say we had to eliminate one of them. We had to eliminate the Aseres HaDibros because of Taromes Aminim, because we're afraid that the heretics will say that we say Aseres HaDibros and Shema as the only two passages of Torah here, because those are the only two things that are real Torah. The other stuff, Moshe Rabbeinu, he was a good writer and he added things on his own. So I believe that this is the source for the Rambam's formulation in the eighth ikar of Anochi and Kriyashma being what the Min thinks are the only things that God gave. Anyway, so bottom line is that some shuls have the minog, many shuls have the minog to stand for their Aseres HaDibros. Some individuals have the minog not to stand for Aseres HaDibros. I have one particular teacher who claims that he stands always for Kriyas HaTorah, because this way he's not going to sit for the Aseres HaDibros when everyone else is standing, but he doesn't want to stand up for the Aseres HaDibros. So anyway, all sorts of practices abound. But anyway, so that's the end of this. We'll pick up here, God willing, next week. I hope everybody enjoys this gorgeous day. If you're able to go outside, you should definitely go outside for a little bit today. Enjoy it, because it won't be true later this week. And I hope everybody has a Freilich and Chanukah.
Hey, Rabbi Weider.
Yes.
Rabbi Weider.
I'm listening.
Question. There are, as I've learned for many decades from Rabbi Lookstein, some minhagim where you should follow personal practice and some minhagim where you should follow shul practice. For example, standing for Kaddish, Rabbi Lookstein is very machbid that your personal practice should have no relevance. You should follow the minhag makam. So does that apply to Aseres HaDibros, or follow your personal shita?
I think that as much as it pains me to say it, you should follow the minhag of the shul you're in.
Why does it pain you to say that?
Well, because it pains me to stand up for the Aseres HaDibros, because of the tshuva of the Rambam. So, but the only comfort I take is that I don't think anybody in the shul, we could say the following, Marshall, anybody today who believes in Torah Misinai doesn't distinguish between the Aseres HaDibros and the other things. And people who deny the divinity of the Torah don't distinguish between the Aseres HaDibros and other things. So it's probably less of a concern today. But it still pains me, because the Rambam says you're supposed to sit down. You're not supposed to stand up because of this Gemara. So, but I would say, if you ask me, if you're in a shul that they stand up, even if your personal practice would be to remain seated, you should stand up.
May I ask you one more question?
Sure.
Presumably, there are many areas of your life where you do not paskin like the Rambam for yourself or your family and those who turn to you. Why does this one pain you as opposed to many other tshuvas? Where, for example, Tamanim or Sfardim may follow the Rambam, but you don't.
Because it's not that the Shulchan Aruch says that you're supposed to stand for the Aseret HaDibros. It's not that there are opinions in the Kelim that you're supposed to stand. Right? It's just, in other words, if the Shulchan Aruch said you stand and the Rambam said that you don't, it wouldn't pain me. We reject the Rambam. The problem is the Rambam is, in a certain sense, very well sourced. And it's not like in Shulchan Aruch, it says you're supposed to stand for the Aseret HaDibros. I don't know that there are any Rishonim who argue and disagree with the Rambam's position. So when I say the tshuva of the Rambam, I don't mean the Rambam as opposed to Betosus disagrees, but I want to follow the Rambam. I mean, I think that this is sort of the, and maybe there is an opinion somewhere, but it's the only opinion I'm aware of in Rishonim. And given how well rooted it is in the Gemara, it seems sort of compelling to me that shouldn't stand up. I would be much happier if people always stood or never stood during Kriyas HaTorah.
Right. So in other words, you think it's the right answer, not that it's the Rambam's job.
Correct. No, you're correct. Correct. It's just the only one I know explicitly addresses, the most famous one, is the Rambam. Yeah. Yes.
I just want to understand if you were secretly Timani, but I have my answer now.
Okay.
Thank you.
We won't invite you Parshas Yisro or Vashkanan, Rabbi. Okay.
I haven't been there yet, but you know, look, Larry, if I were in my shul at Hashkama, I might not stand up. If I were at KJ, I would stand up. So
okay, well, we'll try to avoid the conflict.
Avoid that and Vashkanan. You know, it's true. Also, in my shul, there are some individuals who sit, not too many, and it doesn't create a big machloka. So, you know, but if I were in KJ, it's okay. If I'm there, KJ, I look forward. The way things are now, I'd be delighted to come for Parshas Yisro. Amen. Kennedy Ratzon. Vice Hanan is more like.
Amen.
So, all right.
How about on Shavuos?
I think it'd be the same thing. It'd be the same thing.
Right. In other words, aren't we sort of reliving Ma'amad Har Sinai on Shavuos? I think there is that minhag. People who, shuls that stand on Shavuos, but don't stand. I'm talking about it in on Shavuos when the Aseret HaDibros are recited.
But not for the rest of the Kriyas HaTorah on Shavuos.
No, just...
Right. I never seen that. You know, that I assume there's a machlokas whether you're supposed to stand during Kriyas HaTorah in general. And my assumption is the minna, it's probably explicit in the Rishonim, the minna to stand is the same way the Gemara has a number of other minhagim around Kriyas HaTorah. Like having the Balkori cannot be the only one up there because the Torah was given Ayudei Sarsur, an intermediary. Therefore, two people have to be up there. That's a reenactment of Maimon Har Sinai. So on some level, Kriyas HaTorah is in reenactment of Maimon Har Sinai, which would explain the practice to stand in general during Kriyas HaTorah. So this is kind of aimed at. It's a smaller version of that. Yeah, I've never seen it, but I understand why a shul might have such a practice. And you're right. It would make more sense on Shavuos. And probably be less problematic, especially if you sat during Yisro and Vashkanan. Okay. All right.